This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Source Trunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 35, recorded on the 19th of May 2008. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. I'll be drinking a Kriek Timmermans with this episode. It's a Kriek, so it's made from cherries. And it's made in the brewery of Timmermans, which is operated by approximately 6 people. It's only 4% alcohol, so it is not too strong. It's very light, in fact. And before I'll describe the beer more in depth, I'm going to sip. And that's just plain horrible. And I'll explain why. To be honest, I'm not really a Kriek lover, but this Kriek is really too sweet. And why is it? Because they have put in some sweeteners, some not natural sweeteners, and it's like you're drinking molten chewing gum. I bought the Kriek for my girlfriend, and even she said, this is really too sweet for me. I won't drink any more of this, and you can have it for your podcast. So there you go, a Kriek Timmermans. If you can, please avoid it, because it's not the best Kriek in the world. But anyway, I thought I would describe it anyhow. I once drank a Kriek in a real Brussels brewery. I don't remember if it was more subite or not. And there we drank Kriek from the barrel. And it was really, really sour. And that was what I said to my colleagues. I said, ooh, this is not really a sweet Kriek. And the owner of the brewery heard me, came to me and said in a really stern voice, Kriek isn't supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to be sour. So, there you go. Speaking of beer, this weekend we went on a trip with colleagues of my girlfriend. They're all teachers. And they did a bike trip with little stops in little picturesque pubs. And there we played real old traditional Belgian games. Now, the fun thing is, with those games, people drink beer. 12 o'clock midday, and people drink really strong beer. So we were sitting there, 20 in all, having a nice Nunnebier, which I will describe later on, I think in a few weeks from now, and having a lovely St. Bernardus and playing an old game in which we had to throw wooden bowls to a little place on the floor that was marked on the floor. It's really complicated, but we had a blast, and it's really nice to see all those people laughing and cheering, and at the same time, each and every one of them having a big, big glass of beer in them. Instead of having a Bernardus, I'm having this awful Kriek in a little nice katje, in a, like we say, a little kitten. For those of you who don't know, a katje is the little glass. It's a little Kriek glass. Okay, let's go.
Multimedia software.
M-Player. M-Player was originally built as a movie player for Linux, but now it runs on most Unix-like or even not Unix-like computers. What does it do? Well, it's just a movie player, but just calling it a movie player is a bit... it doesn't cover it, because it plays MPEG, VOB, AVI, OGG, OGM, VIVO, ASF, WME, WMV, QuickTime, MOV, MP4, FLI, RM, Nuple Video, UF4MPEG, Film, ROC, PVA, Matroska Files. It's supported by many native Xamarin, RealPlayer and Win32 DLL codecs. Okay, you're still with me? You can even watch video CDs with it, SVCDs, DVDs, Ivix, Real Media, Sorrento, Fiora, and MPEG-4 DivX movies. It is safe to say that when you use MPlayer to watch any movie file, it will be able to open it and just play it. MPlayer is the thing that I will take if I see a format that I don't even recognize, and MPlayer will just go right ahead with it. Another big feature is the fact that you can use a lot of output drivers with it: X11, XV, DGA, OpenGL, SVGA, Lib, FBDev, AALib, LibKaka, DirectFB. You can also use direct card-specific drivers like Matrox, 3DFX, Radeon, and so on. Your movies can be viewed completely full screen on your computer. You can even use the hardware MPEG decoder cards with MPlayer. It supports subtitling in many ways. That means you can change the font of your subtitles as well. And one of the major features, in my opinion, is it can play bad AVI files. So damaged MPEG files, for example, you can even play them. You will see little glitches here and there where there is damage, but it will just play it. MPlayer will even add an index on non-indexed files. So, cool, ain't it? Most of the time, the MPlayer program is completely command line based. So you just sit in your terminal and you go MPlayer space and the movie file you want to see. But that doesn't mean you can't use a graphical interface. There has been a lot of development on graphical interfaces on MPlayer, and I will get back on that later on. Like I said, subtitling and on-screen display can be changed completely at your liking. And MPlayer doesn't only play files. You can even play VCDs directly from your CD-ROM player or DVDs directly from your DVD player. And that's a really nice feature. Just go MPlayer DVD :// and then the title of your DVD, or you give it your DVD device path and it will play your DVD for you. You can play directly from web servers if you want to, or from RTSP, real-time streaming protocol. All that from within the command line. Something else that is really cool is the control. You have with MPlayer a completely configurable command-driven control layer. That means that you can use the arrows or some other shortcuts to control your file, to stop, to pause, to go back, to forward, and so on. But you can even have your own input.com file where you specify which commands you would like to use for MPlayer to be controlled by. You can, if you want to, use the LIRC, Linux Infrared Remote Control. If you have a remote control, then you can use the IR driver from Linux and have everything done by the ease of your own remote control that you would use for your television or your VCR, or maybe you have a universal remote control laying around. Well, LIRC support is very easy to set up from MPlayer. I will not go into depth of every detail. I'll just summarize the nice features of MPlayer, because this would really take us, I think, half a day or even a day, because the options are endless. Like I said, you can even play directly from network streams, from the HTTP or FTP or MMS or RTSP or RTP protocol. And you can even use proxies. MPlayer honors the HTTP_proxy environment variable, and in that way you can at work make use of a really nice streaming server and just watch whatever you want instead of being actively working. You can even, and this is pretty amazing, save your streamed content. So, for example, you would like to watch a streaming presentation by someone, but you don't have the time right now, then you can just via the command line, have it play and immediately dumped into a file, for example, a stream.asf. There's the possibility to use a decision lists and edit decision lists, and in that way you can even, if you know the content, fill in a little ASCII file and tell the ASCII file what should not be viewed, from which point to which point should be skipped. In that way you can have a film in family-friendly mode, or you can cut commercials, and so on and so on. It's very simple syntax. It's all very well documented. I'm just, as I'm repeating myself, pointing out the functionality. Audio. For most of you people, audio is just left, right, and that's it. But if you're watching a movie, you want everything that the movie can offer you. For example, some DVDs have 5.1 audio, and yes, M-Player completely supports advanced audio, and for example also the surround possibilities. It even does matrix encoded audio, like I said, surround emulation headphones. If you only have two channels but you want to simulate the surround, you can even have it play mono with two speakers. You can have channel copying, channel mixing, and so on and so on, and software volume adjustment. For example, maybe the AVI is recorded really in a too low volume, then you can just adjust it with very simple parameters. Something about the video formats. As I said, I just listed all the different formats there are, but there is something I really have to point out, and is pointed out in documentation as well. There is a difference between a codec and a container. Video codecs, for example, are MPEG-1, MPEG-2, MPEG-4, INDIO-5, and so on and so on. Some containers are MPEG, AVI, and ASF. So, for example, you can put a OpenDivX video and MP3 audio into an MPEG container. But most players will expect an AVI container and will not play it, but it's perfectly possible. So, if you want to read more about containers and codecs, also check out the documentation of M-Player. Audio formats. Yes, you can even use M-Player if you want as an audio decoder. You can even have it as a little console audio player. It reads MPEG, it reads AUG, it reads direct CD audio. You can use it with a little XMMS input plugin, so the sky is the limit. M-Player as well can be used as a TV broadcaster. And how is that? Well, if you have a TV card, then you just can use the TV variables and play via M-Player your card input. And you can have channel control and everything. The only thing you have to do is have the frequencies in a little table and have channels according to it, and you can watch. If you have a TV card, of course, you can watch television on your computer in a little windowed box or completely in full screen whilst using almost nothing of your CPU, because M-Player is a little nice program which doesn't consume too much. You can even have teletext. Yes, complete teletext implementation is built into M-Player. You have the commands to switch a teletext display on and off. You can cycle through teletext. You can go left, right, page up, page down, or you can enter the digits completely directly into M-Player. And if you have a tuner card, a radio tuner card, yes, then you can listen to the radio as well. And just to remind you, just from within the console, just from within the terminal. It has been ported to a lot of distributions. There is Debian packaging, RPM packaging, REM. You can use all sorts of BSDs with M-Player. I haven't found one BSD that doesn't have M-Player, or you can have M-Player built on every BSD in the box. You can even have it on commercial Unix like Solaris, IREX, HPUX, AEX. And you can even have it on Windows or Mac OS X. So MPlayer is all around, and even on QNX and Amiga and Morpheus. That should cover it for what MPlayer can do. And just to remind you, I'm just hopping over all of the possibilities. I'm leaving stuff out. There is more to MPlayer than I just can cram into a little podcast, but you really have to check it out on the distribution or operating system you are working on at the moment, because it is really worth your while. If you're not convinced yet about how widespread and how supported MPlayer is, then you just have to surf on sourceforge.net and type MPlayer in the search window and just see what has been built around MPlayer. You'll see an enormous amount of graphical interfaces. You'll see an enormous amount of plugins, an enormous amount of little toolkits built on top of MPlayer, and to make the use of MPlayer more user-friendly, to have more control, and so on and so on. I see 174 projects that at least have to do something with MPlayer. So it's not a little application. What do I use MPlayer for? Of course, to watch all my movies. It's solely with MPlayer. I watch them full screen on my Debian. I watch them via the SVGA, the S-Video out on my television via my Debian machine. I watch them full screen or just windowed on my Mac. A colleague of mine is doing a project at work. He is equipping an army of discarded PCs with a complete set of open source application. And I'll explain. We have a lot of PCs that we will not be using in production anymore. And they will be sold for a good cause. They will be sold for a cancer fund. And he will keep the Windows XP operating systems on the machine because they are OEM licensed. And it would be, in his opinion, a waste just to throw that away. But all the software that goes on it is OpenOffice, MPlayer, and so on and so on. And so, of course, to view videos and to make it easy for people and children to view content, he's just putting MPlayer on it. Another way to use MPlayer is, for example, legal torrent downloads. If you're downloading a torrent, it will be filled up as it goes along. You will have 2 megabytes, 3 megabytes, until it is completely filled up to its full 700 megabyte or what it is. But maybe you want to have a sneak peek if what you are downloading is really what you think you are downloading. And then it's enough to just let MPlayer have a go at the first 30 megabytes or just the data it can find, and you can already see some images that resemble the movie you were expecting. So that's one way to use it. Another way to use it is via the AA lib. That's the ASCII lib. And yes, you can use MPlayer to just display your movie into ASCII art, and that gives me the way. That gives me the possibility to, from work, log in via a terminal to my server at home via AJAX term, and play MPlayer with AA lib, and just see if the movie I'm downloading at the moment resembles a bit what I was expecting in ASCII. Yes, some people are completely nuts. And I have a little Axim X30 Pocket PC with Windows Mobile 2003. Why am I still using Windows Mobile 2003? Well, because if I would be putting Linux on this thing, I could just throw it away. Because Pocket PC, really all the software, or most of the software that is built for Pocket PCs, is on Windows Mobile. For example, a TomTom GPS route navigator is it. I can't install it on a Linux machine. That day will come, but for now I have Windows Mobile on it, and I use MPlayer to watch all my content. A little Pocket PC MPlayer application. to check the quality of my coax cable to my MIFTY V-Box, I just use Amplayer TV. It's as simple as that. So Amplayer is all around in my household. You can get it from amplayerhq.hu. I will put links on sourcestrong.com, and the license is GNU General Public License version 2. I read that they are in the process of converting to version 3. What can you do for this project? Well, tell your friends and colleagues about Amplayer if they haven't heard about it already, because Amplayer is really, really well known. But you can donate as well. If you use this application and you're really fond of it and you really like it, it's just a little gesture to donate to this wonderful project, and you could make the Amplayer team really, really happy. They have a complete donation page which lists the wish lists of every programmer and every contributor to the project. I'll give a few examples. Alex Beregsasi, he wants a high quality analog video capturing card, and a USB is preferred. He wants a G4 Macintosh, so that's really old. So if you can donate that to the programmer, he would be really pleased. Attila Kinali wants a 4/8-way Matrox card. Diego Buren is happy with a macOS X 10.5 license, region 3, 5, 6 DVDs, and so on and so on. Dominik Mirziewski wants a 40 gigabyte plus SATA 2 hard drive or Red Hat Enterprise Linux 4.5 license. I think this is a really old wish list, because that is ancient. I'll just give the names without all the wish lists, because that would take us really too far. Guillaume Poirier, Michael Niedermeyer, Nicolas Plourde, Reimer Doffinger, Reinaldo Verdeo Pinochet, Rich Felker, who wants lots of anime DVDs. So please go to the Amplayer site and go to the donation site and check out how you can make one or several of the offers of this wonderful program happy with just a small donation. Next episode, I will be reviewing Mencoder, which is a part of Amplayer and can be used to re-encode different formats, and is very interesting as well. But that's for the next episode. Before I continue, just to have a little bit of news, OpenOffice Beta 3 is out, and that is a huge plus for people who are using OS X. Why? Because there wasn't a native OpenOffice version for OS X. People had to use NeoOffice, and NeoOffice worked really, really well. But I've been using the OpenOffice Beta 3 on a macOS X machine, and I must say I'm really, really impressed. Go to openoffice.org to check that one out. Some listener feedback. Remember that I launched a question to you listeners about shared calendars. Remember, I had a friend of mine who his wife is on Windows PC, he is on a Mac machine. They want to share their calendar or share appointments, but they are completely incompatible with each other, that is calendar-wise speaking. And I launched a question to your listeners, what should they use? And a lot of answers came, but one mail in particular really, really sums it up. It's from Greg Thompson, and he opened with Sunbird, which has a WebDAV backend. And I must say, I'm using Sunbird for a while now. I'm using it on Thunderbird on a macOS X machine, and I'm using it because it is completely compatible with my Exchange and Outlook colleagues. you can use Thunderbird in such an environment without a problem, thanks to Sunbird. So Sunbird would be one of the solutions. Chandler, which is a full client-server PIM solution. There is a new project, Bongo, which has a web front-end, and it is called Dragonfly. You can use Web Calendar, you can use Plans, and he ends with saying that there are hundreds of web-based calendars out there, and they're all completely open sourced. Thanks, Greg Thompson, for this really helpful list, and I'll see to it that my friend will at least try out three of those possibilities, albeit by force. I got a mail by Hobie Orris, which is the author of Mr. Random. Thanks for your kind review of Mr. Random. I enjoyed listening to your show and will check out some of the older episodes as well. I would only suggest that you take a look at the documentation for a program before reviewing it. I know from experience that only about 10% of the visitors to MrRandom.net actually bother to visit the documentation page, but there is useful information there. For example, that changing the language of the interface requires a program restart. Yes, oops, sorry. Which seemed to confuse you when you tried it for the first time on your show. Also, you might have realized that the history is actually the most important feature of the program rather than just some kind of record keeping of peripheral interest. That is right. You see, by setting the history to 90 days, for example, you would never hear the same song twice in that period of time, thus avoiding the problem of purely random choice of having annoying repetition. After all, novelty and variety are the main reasons for having your playlist chosen for me. I want to be surprised by something I haven't heard in a while. Anyway, thanks for informing me of the review and I will stay tuned. Thanks, Hobie, for the feedback. Yes, and he is absolutely right. Like I said, I don't have enough time to review everything in depth and to go over documentation like I should by doing a good review. So I'm really pointing out to the software and people will have to do most of it themselves. As I did now for MPlayer, I skipped. No, I didn't skip. I just went over the documentation. I've read the documentation completely and just picked here and there the most interesting things, but you will have to do all the discovering by yourself. I got a nice email by Bruce Henderson as well. He says, just stumbled upon your podcast and absolutely love it. I love open source software as well as Linux and FreeBSD. So much great stuff out there, like FreeNAS. I'm also a home brewer in the Pacific Northwest, USA, and enjoy a great beer as well. However, many of the beers I enjoy do not have the heritage of your wonderful Belgian beers. Thank you for putting your time into podcast and please keep it going. Bruce, really, thank you for your mail. I haven't had time yet to reply to you because I'm going to ask you what you brew for yourself. I'm really, really interested. Most of the time when I go to someone who has his own little brewery and he wants me to taste it, he wants me to try it, my head goes, no, don't do it, don't touch the cauldron. And my heart goes, let's have a really good sip and enjoy this one. And most of the time, those homemade brews are really, really worthwhile. Thank you all for keeping me informed and just keep sending in information about software you're using. That's where I get my inspiration to just talk about something that looks really, really cool. So leave your comments on sourcestrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcestrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Midnight by Adrina Forth. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
Wish I could.